Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, a new video game aimed at highlighting the dangers of knife crime is being rolled out. This is in secondary schools in Scotland, and it comes as we here in Ireland have also reported a spike in knife crime over the past 5 years. Well, Jenny O'Reilly, who lost her own son due to a knife attack in 2015, is here with us on Lunchtime Live today. Jenny, do you mind just telling us what happened to Lorcan?
Well, my son was stabbed in 2015, 5 years ago. He was out for Halloween. It was bonfire night, and the bonfire was finished. He went back to where they live at the flats and socialising. And a guy came along, and then just an altercation started with two fellas, and my son went to stop the actual fight. And my son, in the meantime, got stabbed. So he is dead since then. So that's what happened to my son.
What age was he, Jenny?
He was just 21.
And tell us a little bit about him.
Well, he was very interested in making music. That's what he was very, that was his passion. So he used to always have the laptop and an iPad, and he was making beats and making music. So he was interested in being DJ and probably travelling. That's what he wanted to do. So that's what he was really aiming for. So that was his hopes and dreams. Like, I used to give out to him a lot, saying, well, you're spending too much time in the room on your iPad doing beats and bops and whatever you're doing. And he goes, Mam, you wouldn't understand. He goes, I'm going to be a DJ. He goes, when I'm making the money, he goes, you won't be giving out to me then. So, yeah, tore off and he didn't make it.
That was in 2015. That bonfire night, Lorcan went out, as you said, to, I suppose, to a bonfire, socialising with pals. This happened. Tell us about how you found this out.
Well, I was at home with my other children, and a knock came to the door, and a guy said, Jenny Lorcan's after being stabbed. So in the moment of that being said to me, I just went straight into shock, frenzy, the whole lot. I didn't know what to do, and I had to call Paddy, get him to get to the hospital to get to Lorcan. So there was one of us there, at least if he needed blood or anything. That's what I was thinking of. And sadly, I followed up. And sadly, when I got there, we were brought upstairs to a private room. We were given tea. We were just small talk. And then the doctor actually came in the room and told us he was sorry that Lorcan had passed. So I still then didn't want to hear what I was hearing, because it was in the matter of 2 hours. All this was in 2 hours. He was stabbed and then he was dead. And then you're told you can go view your son and they have him ready. So all of that in the space of 2 hours was very hard to take. Very, very hard. Still to this day, even I still think about that. Like, even only doing the television the other day and the paper the other day. Like, so it was very hard even bringing it back up. But even now doing it, it's still very hard to talk about. It's still very raw for myself, for my family, and especially for Lorcan's friends. They find it extremely hard not having him a part of their lives now, because some of them have children now. And I look at them saying, God, if my Lorcan was here, I'd probably have a grandchild. So we're deprived of all of that since that.
Look, it has to be every parent's worst nightmare, Jenny, to lose a child. And I think, you know, especially in the way in which you lost Lorcan. 5 years on, can you tell us what the last 5 years have been like?
The last 5 years for us is extremely difficult. It's only now I feel a little stronger in myself being able to talk about it, because I'm okay, but sometimes I'm not okay. There's days I don't want to get up out of bed. I don't want to go on. Don't want to, you know what I mean? But I have my five other children and I say I have to for them. But it's the birthdays and the anniversary time that we find extremely hard for us, because we haven't got him here to, you know, his birthday. We should have been celebrating with him on other birthdays in the house, which I haven't even properly done for the two small ones that's here in the house. Last year for their 7th birthday, that's the first time I've actually had a proper birthday party for them, even with the COVID. Now, when I say proper birthday party, there was only a couple of family members up at the house for them, you know. So still, it's very hard to kind of live your life and go on with your life. It's not the same.
Somebody was before the courts in relation to this, Jenny, is that right?
They were charged with manslaughter and they got 6 years with 1.5 years suspended.
Do you feel let down by the system?
I do. 100% I feel let down by the system. I don't feel Lorcan, or I don't feel us as a family, got any justice whatsoever. I mean, Lorcan's life is gone forever. We're the ones living with the sentence for the rest of our lives. We are. We're the ones that got the sentence. You know?
Yeah, look, I know you've... I do really appreciate, Jenny, you talking to us and sharing your story with us. And I suppose one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you today was, as I mentioned at the start, what we're going to be talking about and finding out about this new initiative or this new video game that they're rolling out in Scotland, you know, in an effort to try and deal with issues around knife crime, because there's been a number of incidents there in recent years. There's been a noticeable rise too in Dublin and also across Ireland in knife crime incidents in recent times. Is that very hard for you when you hear that, when you hear of incidents in recent months and years?
Yeah, like you're sitting down, you're having your tea, you put the news on, and all you see on the news is another court case to do with a stabbing, and every single one of them. Now, the persons are dead because of this stabbing, and all you see is manslaughter.
Do you think schemes like this initiative that's been rolled out in Scotland, this kind of a video game, I suppose, to introduce young people to it, to try and tackle incidents like this, do you think will something like this help, Jenny?
Yes, I do. I think it's brilliant. I haven't seen the video. I don't know what way it's going to be, but I will say any education to do with getting the young ones while they're young is fantastic, especially if you can learn them about the science end of it, because they might just think sticking a knife in someone is just a little nip here and there. They don't understand the organs inside that, how vital it can be if they stick a knife here or there or wherever they stick it. Do you understand that bit? Meaning they do not understand the science end of it. So, and even picking up a knife or even having a knife in your pocket from the start, there's a reason they have one in their pocket and they shouldn't have one, and that's intimidation and they shouldn't be intimidated.
Why do you think more young people, though, are leaving their homes with knives, Jenny?
Because they're afraid because the law, the Gardaí, there's not enough policing. So you know, they know that, they're aware of this, so they don't care. So if they think if something will happen to them, I have this to protect myself. I think that's what some of the, now I'm talking about the people that don't go out looking for trouble. I'm talking about those, but the ones that do carry knives looking for trouble, they know what they're doing. So there's two sides to it. There's ones that do protect themselves that don't get into trouble with the law, and they're probably just because they're afraid. Intimidation, that's what I think.
Do you think will educating young people on the issue of knife crime help?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something needs to be addressed. Absolutely, 100%. Something needs to be brought into the schools, and it should be mandatory in all schools from the ages 12 up, I think, yeah.
Do you think, is there anything the government can do, Jenny, to try and address this?
Well, I think the government needs to go back and look at the law system, because it's outdated. It needs to be updated. That's what I think. Just things are different now towards they were, say, 15, 10 years ago. It's quite different now. The generation is different now. You have the internet, you have everything. So it's quite different, and I think it needs to get updated.
5 years on now, Jenny, from Lorcan's passing, I know you talked about his kind of his love of music and his ambition to have a career in the music industry as a DJ. What would you like your son, what would you like Lorcan's legacy to be?
I hope if the law does get changed, I hope they change it into hashtag Lorcan's Law, please God. I hope for him that if something does happen, that's what I'd like him. I'd feel he got and we get a bit of justice out of it.
And when you say for the law to be changed, in what way would you like to see it changed, Jenny?
To do with knife crime. I'm not going to go into too much detail because, yeah.
Jenny O'Reilly, thanks very much for joining us here on the show today.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this Nay Danger game, this is what we're talking about here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. It's the new video game. It's been rolled out in Scotland and it's aimed really at trying to highlight the dangers of knife crime. Well, O'Reilly Taylor is from the campaign group No Knives, Better Lives at the Youth Link Scotland, and she's with us here on News Talk. O'Reilly, why did you start this campaign?
Hi there. So this is actually a Scottish Government campaign. So the No Knives, Better Lives is a Scottish Government programme, and we run it at Youth Link Scotland. As a youth work agency, the government wanted a national partner that took that youth work approach to deliver the programme for them. So it's actually a Scottish Government programme, No Knives, Better Lives, and this is the new project that we've come out this year with the No Danger, the Nay Danger game.
So how will this work, Oriel?
So it's an interactive choose your own adventure game. So it's to be done with groups of young people, either in the school or with a youth worker. So they kind of get all the young people to kind of log on the game. There's a game on the main screen. There's a game on their phone, or it can be done on the PC, like if it's done through remote learning. And basically at different points, there's like mini games through the game. The young people get to choose their own adventure, follow the main characters as they go through a number of scenarios. The group or the class get to choose which point and which path the person in the game takes. So there's always decision points where they can choose which route the person in the game takes. And then the story unfolds depending on which choice they've made. And then at the end of the game, if they've chosen the kind of to carry the knife and whatever else in the game, we can go back and show them what the alternative options would have been and what life would have looked like if they hadn't carried the knife. So it's full of key facts, key information. There's points throughout the game where the game can be paused and the teacher or the youth worker can then have that conversation and open up the discussion with the young people around the key facts. I was just listening to the interview there with mother, and it was just heartbreaking. It doesn't get any easier hearing those kind of stories, and I think it's really tragic. One incident, it has a massive impact on families and whole communities. And she was right. A lot of the facts we use are around, well, you know, young people think there is safe places to stab somebody and there's not. And we try and reinforce that information. We're going, there isn't anywhere safe to stab somebody. Here's the key fact. Here's how quickly you can bleed out. And using key facts to help them really realise what the true implications and risks are of even carrying the knife. So we use those as kind of mini games throughout, and they get to choose the adventure, and it's the discussion points with the teacher or the youth worker as the facilitator that I think really helps the young people open up the conversation and understand what different choices they could be making at all these points throughout the story.
And how, Oriel, has this interactive video been received?
So it only launched yesterday. The game was developed with a group of young people called Youth Just Us, who are a group of care and justice experienced young people. And they really helped us form the game, form the storyline, come up with the dialogue. And they actually are voices in the game as well. And I think that really made sure that for us it was authentic and it could be something relatable to the young people. And they had really helped inform how we kind of shaped that. So from what we've gone through so far, and it's been kind of testing it with small groups, it's kind of been well received, and we put out a shout to all the local authorities in Scotland and asked if people wanted to be trained in it so they can deliver it locally, and it's been really well received by the youth workers and by the schools. So to us there seems like there's a real appetite there, and I think it's great to use the medium of gaming for young people because it's something they enjoy, it's something a lot of them are familiar with. And it'd be nice to take that messaging and translate it into something that they will find really engaging as well. So It only officially launched yesterday, but I think because we developed it with that group of young people, we feel that it is going to be hopefully really well received.
The fact that it's been made available to the local authorities across Scotland, and the fact, I suppose, the game is free as well. I mean, is that important that there is a level of accessibility to something like this?
We feel so, I guess, because it's a Scottish Government programme. We make all our training free, all our resources are free, and actually it's free to anybody on our website. So if you go onto the knowknifebetterlives.com website, the game is accessible there. So, you know, people and partners over with yourselves in Ireland would be able to access that as well. It's all free on the website. So I think for us it's really important that it is as accessible as possible, and we do everything we can to make sure that all our training, our resources and all the support that we offer is free and it is accessible as much as possible. And we've tried to, you know, build that in the way that we're developing it as well to make sure that it's as accessible as possible, to get it as far and wide, as that's what we really want, is to make sure that as many people as possible are using this.
We heard from Jenny O'Reilly there, as you heard, Auriel, here on Lunchtime Live a few moments ago. And, you know, she talked about, even since her own son passed away 5 years ago, the changes. And I suppose, look, young people now are using social media more and all of that. Are video games the best medium, do you think, to use to try and get through to that generation?
I mean, I don't know if it's the best, but I think we need to take that kind of multi-pronged approach. So, you know, we do a number of different projects within No Knives Better Lives. We do peer education, so we train other young people to speak to other young people as peer educators. We do direct training with local partners who have those established and those really trusted relationships with young people in the area. We do quite a lot on social media that's direct messaging for young people to try and let them know what support and access is available for them, and direct messaging for them. So we do a number of different projects, and I think, you know, one thing might work for one young person, but it might not for another. But all we're hoping is that this can spark that understanding and support for that one young person. Because this is all about the bystander approach. So it's around helping young person understand how they can safely intervene with their friends or with somebody they know that's carrying a knife. So what are their options if they know somebody that's carrying a knife? So I think that's what's really helpful here, is understanding it's not always the young people carrying, it's maybe even their friends. What could you do if you know your friend's doing it? Or if you know somebody else that's doing it, what are your options and how could you safely do something about that? And I think that's what's important, is empowering the young people to know what their choices are.
Yeah, I have a text in here actually from a listener on 53106, Auriel, who says, is there any way that we could access this video to show it to our kids at home? I think it'd be really useful.
So it's free on our website, so the knowknifebetterlives.com website, and on the front page you'll see the No Danger game, click through, there's a whole page there. It has been developed to be played with groups of about five or six people, so I mean if you played it just kind of a couple of years, it wouldn't be as fun. It was built for kind of bigger groups, to be honest. But if you go onto the knowknifebetterlives.com website, there's loads of information. There's loads of videos that you could watch with your young people. We have got videos there that we've created. We have video interviews that's from a paramedic and an embalmer. And we've got lots of videos there that are sharing the real consequences that you could watch with your child and help open up those discussions. So there's loads of resources on the website, but the game is there as well that you can access for free. Anybody, anywhere can access it.
Okay, all right. Auriel Taylor from the campaign group from the Youthlink Scotland and No Better Lives, thanks for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
With Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
With Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
With Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
With Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
With Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
With Avantcard. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
With Avantcard. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
With Avantcard. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.